Let's jump right back into our discussion on rediscovering the glory. Rediscovering the glory. Amen. The Lord is working with His people, desirous of bringing every one of us to that place where from the scripture in Ephesians it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Ephesians 10 through 13. That's who we are. That scripture reveals what our function should be as members in the body of Christ, citizens of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God's intention is that His manifold wisdom might be known by you and I. To who? To principalities, to powers in heavenly places. There is warfare going on in the heavenlies above your life. There's warfare going on in the heavenlies above your life. Principalities and powers. And you stick out like a sore thumb because you have the name of the Lord written on your forehead. Amen. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that makes you stand out in the world more than anybody else to principalities and powers, to wicked spirits, and despots in high places. Amen. They recognize that they are threatened because of you. It's because of you and I that they have fear. The same fear that they have of God, they have of you and I. That's right. See, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. See, Jesus in you is greater. Why? Because of His position. Because He has been given a name that's above all names, every name. Right? And that name resides in you. The person of Jesus resides in you as a believer. See, and so principalities and powers fear you because of who possesses you. They fear you because of who it is that's living in you. Right? That name resides in you that's greater than every name. Right? Now they understand that if that name, if authority is exercised in that name, they must submit to that authority. Now you have to understand that that's the only reason why principalities and powers would submit to you as a human being. Because they're not afraid of human beings. See, their fear is of the name that resides in you and its authority. But God has given him a name that is exalted high above every name that is named. Right? And the Bible says every knee shall bow to that name and say, they got to say something. They have to say something. You know, so when you tell the devil to bend his knee, when you take authority over him, you have a responsibility to say, now, what's his name? I said, what's his name? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time for you to bully the devil. I know you're sweet and kind and all that, but it's time for you to be a bully. Genteel as you are, praise the Lord. Wouldn't set your foot upon God's green earth without some sandals on. But it's time for you to bully him. Amen. time for you to antagonize him. Amen. Give him some orders. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The only way he can say anything to you is for you to lift up your feet to get let him catch his breath. Now, what I'm telling you is spiritual truths, that they really are. They're spiritual truths, but we don't always meditate on them. So if you keep your mind, you know, transformed, and you know, if you get keep it renewed, then you will always be cognizant of the fact that the devil is under your feet. That's where he is. That's his position. Always. Under your feet. Amen. Amen. See, God's intention is that the wisdom that he has, that really, that wisdom that this is referring to has to do with the promises of God that he has given you and I as kingdom citizens. Yeah, God's more concerned about you than he is anything else in the whole universe. Right? Now, you have to know those promises. This is elementary, you know, for individuals that are in the Word, but it's still true. You have to know those promises, right? Because if you know the promises of God, then you can employ them. You can put them to work. And as you put the promises of God to work, those promises speak loudly to principalities and powers. Amen? Now, you know that the principalities and powers in the heavenlies are going to pay attention to the promises because they're God's word. Listen, the angelic host of heaven hearkens to the voice of God's word. Amen. So why would the principalities and powers hearken unto them? Well, if you employ the promises, if you put them to work, you are in a sense charging your angels. And then your angels take up arms and they begin to do the mighty works of God over your life so that you can see the manifestation of the promises come to pass. Right? See, so those principalities and power, why would the angels have to be involved in bringing the promises of God to pass for you as you are diligent to meditate them and to speak them? Why would they? See, what are they involved in doing? They're principalities and powers that have locked up your blessings, your provision. See? Various things that you need in this life. Now, you're not going to need them when you go on to glory. But you need them now. Amen. So, the devil's activity surrounds, you know, those things that belong to you. See, he is a accuser of the brethren, and he's the father of lies. Right? So, he accuses the brethren so that you will come under condemnation. Because if you come under condemnation, you can't operate in faith. Right? And he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So what he does is he lies to you about God so that you lose your confidence in him. If you don't have confidence in him, then you don't believe that he'll answer your prayers. Amen. You don't believe he'll act on your confession or the decree that you make. You understand that? So you see, the angelic host in operation for you comes against the principalities and powers on your behalf, but you have to release them to do that. If I don't speak the promises, if I don't make the decrees, if I don't declare the word of the Lord, then the principalities and powers in the heavenlies technically have a right to keep my blessings bottled up. to keep the dam of the river of my blessing dammed up, stifled. See? Why did Jesus tell his disciples after they wondered so about him speaking to the fig tree and the fig tree perishing overnight, just withered up and died even to the roots? You know, the kind of faith we have is kind of like we speak to something, then we look to see if the leaves start to turn on it. You know, Peter went right to the roots. He pulled that thing up out the ground. My Lord. Amen. He said, if it's dead, it's dead all the way down in the roots. Amen. You can see leaves on a tree wither a little bit and get tarnished, but if they get the right nourishment, it seems like they kind of come back. But when the Lord speaks to something and he puts the curse of death on it, it's dead to the roots. Amen. And so they were marveling over this. Lord, the tree that you cursed yesterday is dead to the roots. He said, don't marvel at this. If you had faith like a mustard seed. A mustard seed. Why did he bring size into it? Why did he refer to something so small? Because a religious mind convinces you that you got to do all of this religious exercise and calisthenics to get to the place where you can be mighty in God. Amen. Cartwheels, you gotta run the monkey bar. Praise the Lord. Be able to climb high heights and jump over great walls. And then when you get to that place, you think that you're a mighty person of God. Now, finally, I can speak to my mountain. No, Jesus said, if you have faith just like a little mustard seed, tiny, smallest of seeds, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And he said, it will obey you. Hallelujah. It'll obey you. Glory to God. I'm going to testify to it even though I've already said it. I don't care. I'm going to say it again. Because it testifies to this very truth. And these are strong words that I'm going to use now. So you got to listen real close to make sure you have to understand that I'm using an ED on the word that I'm about to use. ED. That means that this has already occurred. It's already taken place. Right? So what I'm about to say is something that has already happened. ED. Remember, ED. I got back home from Meridian Falls. And my wife and I came inside and we noticed that you guys hadn't had any rain. And I've been allowing my grass to grow in my yard a little higher than usual. And I just decided I'm not going to skin the thing anymore. I'm going to let the grass grow up nice and high so that it can retain the moisture that it gets. And it can just run down in there and refresh the grass. And I'll cut it when I'm good and ready. Thank you very much. Amen. And I'm going to cut it nice and high. But I recognized when I got back from our little Sabbath, and I got back and I realized that it hadn't rained. Well, when I got on the inside of the house and my wife and I began to get back into our routine, I began to get a little aggravated. I wasn't aggravated at her, but I was aggravated that the devil somehow has been blocking up the heavens so that I couldn't get my rain on my yard. So I heard the Lord say, now this is when you can be sure something's about to happen. I heard the Lord say, you tell that damned devil to get off your property. D-A-M-N-E-D. Amen? I told you, remember the E-D. Hallelujah. I wasn't cursing. I was reminding the devil that he was cursed. Amen. I walked around the yard and I said, Satan, You get your damned self, get your damned hands off my property. And I just kept walking, and I walked around the yard, made sure I walked all the way around. Amen. And then I looked at the clouds, and I said, now you release the rain, my allotted portion of rain. You release my rain on this property. And I said, and I'm not going to have any lightning and disturbance and destruction. You release my rain. And I looked at it like it could hear me, like it was a person. I did. I looked at it. I looked at the clouds like, you hear me, don't you? You hear me talking to you? I said, in the name of Jesus. And I could just see the name of Jesus just going up through them clouds. Amen. Went back in the house and got on back into what I was doing. And honey, it wasn't no more than probably a half an hour. Yeah. Wasn't more than a half an hour. I walked back out there and I said, what you waiting on? Didn't you hear what I said? Amen. And I mean, shortly after that, we got us some rain. I'm serious. Did you get some rain? You ought to thank God your pastor came home. And next time, don't wait till I get back. Be waiting for me to get back. Glory to God. My property was suffering with yours. Come on, think about me. Glory to God. But you see, that's just a simple illustration, and it's a very truthful illustration that actually did happen. But that is a simple illustration of the authority of the name of Jesus that resides in you. And you have every right to use the authority of Jesus' name to move mountains. Now, that was a mountain of high pressure. Has been keeping rain out, keeping moisture from falling out of the heavens, just keeping it at bay. I don't care what the weatherman says. Amen. If he doesn't use scripture and tell you that you, wouldn't it be nice if I was a weatherman and I gave you all the facts and then I pick up my Bible and said, according to Matthew, we can speak to that high pressure if we just use a mustard seed of faith, and we can make that high pressure move, and then just say to the audience, does anybody out there agree with me? Amen. I said, if you agree with me, then let's point to the map and let's believe God and command the high pressure to move in the name of Jesus. And we'll be right back after these messages. I think I'll go get my license to be a meteorologist. Glory to God. Why not? Amen. Go into another profession. It's our responsibility to make known the manifold wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is what has been released to us that shows us what we can do with God's word. That's God's manifold wisdom. You use that. Use it in your life. Don't just give way to the difficulties that come to you and the hindrances that you have. Right? Use the word of God. You have every right to use it until God says stop. And he can say stop if you're not fully aware of what he's doing in a situation. He could be saying to you, you don't need to pray that over that situation. And he begins to reveal to you what he needs to reveal to you about it. But you have every right to use his word until you get the memo. Amen? So let's practice it. That's our privilege. That's our responsibility. Amen? It's his eternal purpose. That's what he is. He's accomplished some things in Christ Jesus. If he had not accomplished what he accomplished in Christ Jesus' obedience and Calvary, the death, the burial, the resurrection, then we wouldn't be able to do that. But you see, he accomplished some things. And those are the things that God wants the body of Christ to come to knowledge of, to be aware of. You know, I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, you just have to take what the man upstairs gives you. You can't change the weather. Amen. I'm tired of hearing that. No, God has blessed me. And he adds no sorrow with his blessing. It's a sorrowful thing to see your yard just turn brown. Amen. You got people out there that, you know, they work and, you know, make a living cutting grass. And have you ever seen them out there continuing to do their job and just blowing, you know, dust everywhere because there's no grass? They're trying to make money, you know. But they have a contract and they're cutting brown weeds and brown grass. That's sorrowful. That's not the blessing of the Lord. So he accomplished some things in Christ Jesus. And we have access, we have boldness and access with confidence and faith through him and in him. See, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. I took my access in that situation. See, now God wants you to take access with boldness and confidence in every one of these areas of your life. Cheat death. Amen. Amen. Just cheat it. You know, you used to cheat. You hadn't forgot, have you? Yep, you used to cheat. Amen. Praise the Lord. We did it in classroom, looking over that other person's paper to see what answer they gave. Man, wasn't it easy when all they had to do was just circle in the little ABC answers, because you knew A was at the top, B was second, C was the third, D was the fourth. All you had to do was just give a little glance. You knew they got that one. Well, now it's time for you to pull some of your old tricks out the bag. Cheat the devil! The good thing about God's test is, you know, he gives you the answers up front. He don't tell you to, you know, go to the back of the book and check and see if you got it right like you're gambling. Right? He gives you the answers right there in the promise. Amen? Come on now. The only kind of test that God wants you to have is open book. Open book. And the answers are right there. You don't have to search them out in the sense that he hasn't made them plain and open for you. You just have to know where to go. You go to the epistles. Amen? You go to the epistles. Praise the Lord. Apostle Price is putting together a Bible that's supposed to be a truly New Testament Bible. From Romans to Jude. I like that. I'm going to get me a copy. Amen. And I can guarantee you, amen, as he calls himself the kid, he calls himself the kid, you know. He said, if it can be found out, the kid going to find out. That's the way Brother Price talked. I guarantee you that the kid, Apostle, the kid, Fred Price, is going to put in those highlights for those promises. All through, I can't hardly wait. Amen. I just might go to California and get me one hot off the press. Praise the Lord. So, if we've got boldness and access with confidence through faith in him, what do we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him to do? Well, you have to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 for that. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. See, this is mercy. You want to know what God's mercy is? You know, Some people see mercy like, well, God let me get off in that. He let me get away. Or he didn't allow me to be exposed. You exposed to principalities and powers. Forget about your neighbor knowing your little dirt. See, you expose the principalities and powers. Amen. They want to see you do a little dirt so that they can encourage it. All right. Complicate it. Add to it. Make it more difficult. Right. You expose the principalities and powers. So let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. This is the mercy of God. It's understanding who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Amen. Who you are, what you have, and what you can do. See, that principle, that little information right there is used throughout all of your life. You go to take a new job, you know, and they give you this job and it's designated and it's called something. So you are whatever they want you to be. And maybe you're a sales consultant. You know, that means that you consult all of the customers that come into your business. Right? Well, they give you some stuff. And you realize when you read and study the material what you have. Right? And if you use it correctly, then you'll be a good consultant. Yep, you'll be a good consultant, right? And if you're a good consultant, then you're going to have something that you're doing, which means you'll have good success. You'll have good success. And that's what God wants you to have. It's good success. Amen? Praise God. That's why we do series like that. How to navigate your life to a place of successful living. Amen. Rediscovering the glory. Amen. Because that's what God wants. He wants you to understand who you are, what you have, and what you can do. That's what Jesus spent all of his time just downloading into his disciples. Now, it's interesting that Jesus did that. Ooh, he did that. Man, he was on top of it. He's on his game. Before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. See? So it's important. I mean, Jesus could have waited until afterwards, right? He could have. So evidently, there's something in the way of wisdom involved in this. There are some things that you need to get by the Logos before you can see the blessing of the Rhema manifested. So there is some tiresome labor of just reading, studying the word so that you might show yourself as a workman that needed not be ashamed, but approved of God. Amen. You have to work, right? When you work at this, then the Holy Spirit will come behind the effort that you have given. He'll come behind the measure that you've meted out in that situation. And he will honor your blood, sweat, and tears. He'll honor it. And he'll give you back with the same measure, my Lord. And the good thing about this is God usually gives you above what you dare ask or think. So he's going to come back, you know, at a minimum to the same degree that you gave yourself to it, and then he's just going to lap the rest of the stuff over there beyond measure. Glory to God. If you wasn't looking, I ain't doing that again. Hallelujah. He'll give you above what you dare ask or think. Isn't that good? Amen. So we come boldly unto the throne of grace. I'm glad that he calls it a throne of grace, because our revelation of grace isn't just a covering, but it's an equipping. It's an equipping. See, when Paul was given a thorn in the flesh of Satan. God wasn't in it. God didn't have nothing to do with it. The devil was doing whatever he could to slow this man down and to affect his testimony, because he's being too dadgum effectual. This man is just too dadgum effectual. We just can't stand by. We got to do something, you know? And so he sent one of his wicked spirits over there to torment him. And the Apostle Paul went to God. He's learning now, just like you and I. He goes to God and he prays, God, take this thing away. This thing is causing me problems, slowing me down. You called me to do all this work. Why don't you take care of this? How can I finish what you called me to do if I'm plagued with this thing? How many of you have ever prayed like that? Huh? There's some stuff that you've had to deal with, right? And you go into God and talking about it. And the Lord said, don't pray to me any more about it. See, when you pray three times and you don't get an answer, and that third time you get an answer, you better pay attention to what you hear. And God was saying, I don't want to hear any more about this. And his answer fell on the apostle in a way that he saw, it's my responsibility to get rid of the thorn. Amen. Now, there are some in the body of Christ that don't believe he ever got rid of it. That's a lie. The Bible doesn't tell you that he had to put up with it the rest of his life, like a doctor telling you, now you're just going to have to learn to cope with the pain, the discomfort, the distress, because there's no cure for this. You don't find that in the Bible about that thorn in the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So he never, even Paul never says anything else to God about it. But he began to teach us the very things that I'm teaching you. Because I'm not teaching you anything that I haven't got from him in his ministry. I don't have any original thought. Not a one. Amen. Neither do you. You know, you say, why didn't I think of that before? You just hadn't got in the right place so somebody could tell you. Then you think about it. Or in the right place where you could read it and get revelation on it. See, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There are no new revelations. You might as well get your Bible and get the ones that you got right here and put them to work. Buying all them extra books and everything, you know. If it's not talking about what's already written in the Word, you don't need it. Everything that I need is right here. Adam had everything he needed in Eden. I got everything I need in the spiritual book of Eden. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So, let's go boldly unto the throne of grace and be equipped. Right? So why? So that we may obtain mercy. You're just going to get more of what you got. You're going to get more. Say more, Lord.
More.
Yeah, you're going to get more. He giveth more grace. Hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. You know? Just think about the believers in the body of Christ today that don't really see that to really legitimately make any sense. I'm living in the grace dispensation. Why do I need to find grace? Well, you ain't living, evidently. Something wrong with you. You're not living, evidently. You locked into some zone and you need to get out of it. Because I do need help. How about you? Amen. And I will always be a person of need as long as I'm living on this side of heaven. Amen. You know, even when I get my immortal, glorified body just like Jesus, I have a need. And the greatest one is that God don't ever change. Because he's still in control after I go to heaven. Amen. I'm glad I can take the word and I can say to him every once in a while. Now, the Bible said, you don't ever change. I'm here now. And you don't ever change. Praise God. I just say it out in my mansion when ain't nobody there but just me. Right? God don't ever change. God don't ever change. God don't ever change. Whew, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm glad about it. Amen. Now, the scripture, let's go back to our scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. We want to just go back there because there's just so much in the Word of God that we need to just go back every once in a while and see where we started from before we go forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "For man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image, reflected glory of God. His function of government reflects the majesty of the divine rule." Now we have to meditate in that and realize that we have a divine rule, get that word rule, reflected off of our lives back toward God. Now if it's reflected back toward God, first it's got to go through those principalities and powers and angels all the way up to the third heaven. Amen. You're a shining star. That's who you are. That's what earth, wind, and fire sings. You're a shining star. Right? So you, now I'm going to put my words on to it because they don't put theirs on. I'm going to say, you got to know who you are. You're a shining star. You got to know what you have and what you can do. But you are God's light in the world. Amen. You are. You're God's light in the world. I think I'll download that song and put it in my MP3. Amen. We're shining stars. Amen. All right now. Well, now we've already discussed this. A lot of people get hung up on the part of the hat and they want to get into religion and talk about what you can wear and what you can't wear. Amen. Well, if that's all it's talking about, then God is being prejudiced. Amen. Because all he's concerned about is what a man has on his head. And some of these women coming in here showing everything except their birthday. Amen. For a woman ought to wear something to hide her birthday. That should be in there too. Amen. We just coming short of seeing your navel, baby. Amen. I heard somebody the other day talk about this. This is the first time I ever thought about it. But did you know that Adam is the only man that didn't have a belly button? He's the only man that didn't have a belly button. And Eve was the only woman. Didn't have a belly button. It was, see, if they had an umbilical cord, it was spiritual. And God didn't want it to be cut, so he made it invisible. Moving right along. No. This is something, in a sense, that just kind of leaked out. You know, he's addressing something for that Corinthian church, but he couldn't help but just, that revelation just overpowered it. You see what I'm saying? That revelation just overpowered that little tidbit of information about what you're wearing in church. See? And you see, word people, you know, promise-oriented people that understand who they are, what they have, and what they can do, they pull those scriptures out of the Bible. And they're in the oddest places, some of them. But we just mine them right out of the scripture. We find those choice blessings, scriptures, jewels of information, right? That God just, he's just like, I'm leaking little truth out here and there. It's almost like a game. God says, you know, let's play catch me if you can. Amen. He leaks a little something out, then he takes off. See if you're interested in catching him. Woo, here I come, Lord. I'm burning the road up. Just burning the road up. Well, I'm hot after. First thing in the morning. Father God! I ain't no ways tired. Glory to God. Amen. And you know what? We're going to be running, trying to catch him throughout all eternity. I believe that's why he gave us that crystal sea and all of those trees for the healings of the nation. Lord, I'm going to reach and grab me some leaves and eat and run. Somebody look at me and I go, where are you going? I'm eating and running. Amen. Glory to God. So that's why it's important for us. There's different ways of sharing the same truth. Sometimes it just takes, you know, a joyful, attitude to get over to the same revelation that you've been struggling with. And, you know, there's really, you know, the effort that needs to be exerted here is effort on our part. Yes, but when the Holy Spirit comes behind that effort and that faithfulness and of your study and your prayer and your meditation and your confession of the Word, he's going to meet you at the same level of your effort, but he's going to give you above what you dare ask or think. You got to be rewarded because the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, diligently, diligently seek him out. Not only does he like catch me if you can, he likes hide and seek. Amen. I was up to Jordanias one time and CC and Lolly was up there. Man, I think I had all three of them in different rooms. I was trying to find them. Amen. Trying to find them. And I'm the tickle master. I'm going to tickle you if I find you. Amen. So they hide, boy. They'd get out of there. Amen. So we can't allow anything, see, we can't allow anything to be lodged over our lives to muffle or to we don't want anything over our lives that's going to hamper the reflection of our divine majestic rule that we're involved in. Amen? God is a merciful, gracious God, and he understands where we are. And he understands what time we're living in, and he knows the pressures of this time, the difficulties of this time. Amen? And that's why Jesus is a high priest, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews, what, chapter 4 as well? He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities on the level of our humanity. But he also is a high priest that understands as 100% 100% a human being, what it's like for you to have to strive in the things of God, you know, to pursue the things of God, pay the price to walk in the place of the glory. He understands that too. And he's touched with that on our behalf. He knows how to get us to the higher place, the higher plane. He knows how to get us there because he went through it too. He had to go through some stuff to walk in those places where he sees the Father working and he works what he sees the Father working. He hears the Father speaking and he speaks what he hears the Father speaking. He can teach you how to do that. Now, what I like about this is that this is something that Jesus does personally. It didn't say that the Holy Spirit was the high priest. It didn't say that God was the high priest. Said Jesus is our high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Don't you like that? You have personal access to Jesus Christ himself. You have personal access to him. Now that's special. Amen? That's special. I believe one of these days, Apostle Price will give me his cell phone number. Now, that's special access. Because you don't give that out to everybody. Not in a man of his caliber and his responsibility and in the body of Christ. But I believe one day I'll get it. And I won't abuse it. Amen. When some of y'all learn how to text, you're just sending texts everywhere. He's just texting everybody. I need unlimited. I need unlimited texting. Oh, and you thought you were so smart. Thought you were so smart. And you want everybody to get your text. Amen. Ain't spelling stuff right or nothing. Just texting. Some of them were very comical. They really were. Well, when I get that access to Apostle Price, I'm not going to just bombard him with a lot of dumb messages. I'll call him or text him when I need him. Because that's what it's there for. This is for serious business. Y'all, you know, this goes back a little ways, but some of y'all had to convince me to get a cell phone, period. You don't remember that, do you? Don't you remember it? Yeah. You had to convince me to get one. Yeah. Somebody had to convince me to get a tablet. I'm a little old-fashioned, but I can change. Amen. I know how to change. So I have changed. Praise the Lord. But we've got special access to him. And that access we should be using for the right thing. Don't go bawling and squalling to him about something that, you know, that he's already given you the grace to take care of. Take care of it. Amen. And if you text him to say, text him and say, praise God, it works. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I guess we need to move on, don't we? Praise the Lord. Now, in this particular section here, I've used all that just to introduce where we're going next. Amen. We're going to be looking at the glory. You can write the word glory down. And we'll let you use a very simple definition for it. Honor and renown. So just write down glory. Put just some little spaces there. And then write beside it honor. Semicolon or comma or whatever you want to use. and put renown, R-E-N-O-W-N, renown of believers. Believers. Glory, dash, dash, dash. Honor, comma, renown of believers. Amen. This is given to us by God. This is given to us by God. Let's go to St. John's Gospel. St. John's Gospel, chapter 17. Everything that we're talking about, you know, is something that has been given to us. This is one of the things that's going to be so sad at the judgment seat of Christ. Because when you receive, when I receive, when we all receive this immortal body, the Bible actually tells us that when we see Jesus, we shall see him and be as he is. So we're going to get an immortal body the same way that Jesus got an immortal body. Right? Now, everything in this mortal body has representation of what's in an immortal body. So, your brain is really going to be stepped up a whole lot. The function of your brain is going to come to the level of Jesus' brain functioning. So you're going to know even as he knows. Everything that you are allowed to know, you are going to know. Can you understand that there's going to be a lot of believers there before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ? And all of a sudden, as they're waiting there in line to be dealt with by the Lord, they are going to have full comprehension of everything. Everything that folk are pointing the finger at me and saying, it don't take all that. They're going to have full knowledge of and see the validity of it, see the necessity of it, see the blessing of it, and all that they could have done if they had operated in it. They're going to have all of that knowledge as they stand there, getting ready to be called next. Next is going to be a word that everybody's going to fear. The fear of God. I'm talking about the fear of God. I'm not talking about a fleshly fear. Oh, yeah, you'll have a holy, reverential fear of God as you stand in that line. I'm going to be so courteous. No, you can go ahead. Come on, folks. Keep the line moving. And you having all knowledge that you need to have will recognize ain't nobody appointed you no usher. You go next. Amen. But we will have full recollection of every time that the Lord dealt with us to go to a certain church. Every time the Lord dealt with us to get up in the night and pray. Every time God said, memorize a portion of scripture. Every time the pastor or the minister or the evangelist spoke a word and we disdained it and said, oh, I don't know about that. And you'll see how that if you had have accepted it, what good it would have done you. And while you're standing there and all that's going through you, when he says next with your name on it, all that information will cease and stop. And the only thing you can do is step forward. Amen. Now, the good thing about it for believers is that, you know, it is a mercy seat. I see smiles. Amen. Yeah, it's a mercy seat, right? See, so he's not desirous of passing down harsh judgments, But we are responsible for our disobedience and our negligence, our lethargy. We're responsible for that. And we will be dealt with in a judicial manner that's just and right. You don't call it a judgment seat for nothing. Right? Amen. So these things are very important. Amen. And that's why we need to give ourselves to it, realize who we are, what we have, and what we can do. Have you found John yet? Well, I've been waiting. John chapter 17, and let's look at verse 22 through 26. This is Jesus speaking. John chapter 17, verse 22 through 26. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, now he's talking to God now. His prayer was overheard and was taken down with shorthand. Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually. And these men understand and know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. Can anybody shout? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I don't have time to do my little disposition on that just, so I'm just going to close in a few moments here in saying that Jesus was actively involved in praying to the Father about his ministry to those apostles. That was very important, because these are the men and women that he is putting a mandate on to carry this information to the next level. Jesus is entrusting the disciples to do something that he couldn't do. Right? Let me show you something right here. This is the beginnings right here of Jesus, what Jesus said to them. He said, if you believe in me, you'll do the works that I do, and even greater works than these. What he just said to them is going to enable them to do greater than what he was able to do. He couldn't come to the great place of actually doing what he's telling them to do right there. He could only go so far. But they had to take it to the level of taking him out and preaching him like the gospel, making him the gospel. He is the answer. Now, Jesus said it. He said it, but it wasn't received. It wasn't received. So they're going to take it to the land. They're going to take it to the world. It has reached all the way unto us. That's the greater work. It's reached all the way unto us. We're saved because of the gospel they preached. The Holy Spirit is free to bring conviction on men, women, boys, and girls because those individuals took it to the next level. They operated in the glory. They operated in the honor. They operated in the renown of God. Come on, give him some praise. Hallelujah.